Praise be Jesus and Mary. For today's reflection, we're going to talk about one of the attributes of God known as his simplicity. The simplicity of God. Life is complicated, but God is simple. And that's actually good news for all of us. A simple thing is something that lacks parts or really distinct elements. So, you know, for example, a rock is a pretty simple thing. But even a rock, even on a metaphysical level, a rock is composed. It's composed of matter and form, of act and potency, of substance and accidents. And you know, on a physical level too, a rock is composed of things like minerals, for example. So there are distinct elements to a rock. Simplicity also means indivisibility. And a rock, as simple as it is, it can be broken, it can be cut into pieces, it can be cut in half, it can be divided. So in order to find something that's even simpler, you have to move into the spiritual realm. An angel is simpler than a rock in the sense that the angel doesn't have a body and so it can't be divided. It's also smarter than a rock too, of course, but it's simpler than a rock at the same time. But even angels are composed on a metaphysical level. They're composed too of what's called matter and form, of act and potency, of substance and accidents. Well, what about God? Well, God is infinitely simple. From a negative point of view, he's simple in the fact that he's not composed of parts. There's no composition in God in any way. For example, the human body is composed of parts, right? There are many parts. There are the arms, legs, head, internal parts as well. And even the human person is composed of a body and a soul. God is not composed because he is pure spirit. Even on a metaphysical level, God's simpler than an angel because God has no matter, he has no potency, he has no accidents. He's also indivisible as well. God is simple from a positive point of view as well, meaning that he possesses his own reality, his own being, in a way that's completely harmonious and unitary. Again, without any type of division. So typically in creatures, we say that the more complex they are, the more perfect they are, right? So if you think about it, a human being is more perfect than a rock, because they're also more complex than a rock as well. However, in the spiritual order, simplicity is closer to perfection, not complexity. God is pure spirit, he's perfectly simple, and he is the most perfect being. Obviously, he's even more perfect than the angels and then the human soul, because the angels, who are pure spirits, they can receive grace, they can grow in holiness, or they can even diminish in holiness as well, like the fallen angels who fell out of God's grace, and the faithful angels were confirmed in grace. So too our souls can grow in God's grace, or they can lose God's grace through serious sin. So the created spirits, meaning angels and our souls, are much different than the uncreated spirit, who is God. God cannot grow or diminish in anything. As we mentioned the other day, he's unchangeable. He's totally unique. He's perfectly simple as well. All of the pure perfections that God has, for example, like his wisdom, his goodness, his holiness, his justice, his mercy, his love, his power, all of those in God, they're actually really the same thing. They're all really one in God. There's no real distinction between them in God. They're presented to us with what's called a formal distinction, meaning that our minds see a difference. You know, my mind sees a difference between God being all wise and being all holy, or being loving and merciful, or just and merciful, or being holy and beautiful. In my mind, I can see a difference, but in reality, in God himself, all those things are one. They're the same thing. Blessed John Duns Scotus says that since God is perfectly simple, whatever is in him is God himself. Whatever is in God is God himself. So how do we apply the reality of God's simplicity to our own spiritual life? Well, we say that God in his being, again, is ontologically, he's perfectly simple. And it's also true that in the spiritual order, simplicity is closer to perfection than complexity is. So for those of us who are complex people, we have a bit of a higher mountain to climb than some other people. If you're complex, it's a little bit more difficult sometimes in the spiritual life. In the spiritual life, simplicity is opposed to deceit. It's opposed to double dealing. It's opposed to hypocrisy and also to duplicity as well. Remember what our Lord said of Nathanael at the beginning of St. John's Gospel. He said, "Here is a true Israelite. There's no duplicity in him," he said of Nathanael in John 1, verse 47. That was actually a compliment that he was giving to Nathanael. It was means that Nathanael was a man of integrity. He had the simplicity of a soul that the patriarch Jacob actually lacked in that. So there was a greater perfection even in Nathanael. In the spiritual life, to aim at simplicity of heart means to aim at having a pure heart. A simple heart is a pure heart, and it's a humble heart as well. Our Lord himself says, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." He says that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 8. And the apostle adds a verse which I like very much. He says in Titus 1, 15, he says, "To the pure all things are pure." To those who are pure, everything appears pure to them. Instead of being pulled left and right and up and down and backwards and forwards by our emotions or by our feelings or by our impulses or by our fears or by our desire to be in control of everything or by distorted or sensationalistic news stories, instead of being pulled in all directions by those things, we need to pray for simplicity of heart. That's so important in our spiritual life. And as a side note, when people tell me that they are disgusted or distraught by all the bad news in the world and in the church, you know, I do sympathize with that, but I also tell them that I've got great news for them. So if you come to me complaining about those things, I usually will tell you I've got great news for you. And I ask them if they want to hear the great news. Typically they say yes. We want to hear the great news. And so I say, the great news is that you don't have to focus on those things. That's the great news. So a lot of times we can ignore a lot of these sensationalistic stories because they won't be on our final judgment exam, right? A lot of them aren't going to be there on the last exam that we have to take. Plus, we always have to understand that the media wants us to become addicted to watching their programs. That's a big part of how they make money. So you need to be wise and not play their game. Even things on social media, even Catholic media circles or personalities, we have to be careful about feeding into them. I tell people that instead of focusing on the bad news, they should focus on becoming a saint. That's typically when they stop listening to me after I've said that. They just walk away and they just say, well, it's not that important. I figure maybe if I was a better salesman, it might actually work out, would be helpful. That being said, if we have a heart which is simple and pure, we will learn to see all these things, even the difficulties. We'll learn to see them from the perspective of God himself, and we'll learn to love others with the love that God has for them. We'll also learn to love ourselves as well, and we'll have God's peace, which is an added benefit. We'll have God's peace if we learn to have simplicity of heart, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of the worst situations. Our Lord says to us, "Be wise as serpents and simple as doves," he says in Matthew 10, 16. So being spiritually simple doesn't mean being a simpleton. It means having your own interior life. It means having your own self in order, your own soul in order. It means having your passions and your desires controlled by reason and by virtue, and having our reason and our will humbly submissive to God's guidance and to God's authority. It's having our whole house in order. It's actually a beautiful thing. And simplicity of heart or purity of heart brings with it a great interior freedom, really a great freedom that we can have on the inside of us. And it helps us to have childlike innocence in our souls as well. Part of what our Lord means when he tells us to become like little children, he says that in Matthew 18:3. Part of it means reacquiring that innocence and simplicity of the soul of a child. And we know that fixing and healing and purifying hearts in that area is God's specialty, even if we're big sinners. If we repent of our sins, God will give us new hearts, and He'll purify our hearts to make them more and more like Him, purify them to make them even simpler, like God Himself. So let's ask Our Lady, who had the purest of hearts and the simplest of hearts, too. Let's ask her for the grace to be less complicated, if possible, spiritually, and more focused on doing what her Son says when He tells us, for example, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if we do that, He says, everything else will be given to us. Matthew 6:33. Praise be Jesus and Mary. Amen.